my screen here.
Renegade Broadcasting. Hard-hitting talk radio.
Welcome to the body of the people. This man called Chris Dorsey. It's Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern here in Richmond, Virginia. And if you are listening on the East Coast, it's 8:01 p.m. Thursday, January 5th. It's like the country is going to be hit with a snowstorm here soon. We're bearing down here in Richmond for the first snowstorm of the year. This weekend, this is a wild card, and with me on the phone is David Dotrieve, and very happy to have him on, and happy to be on Renegade Broadcasting, and happy to be speaking to the smartest audience in the world. That's what you are, at least as far as comprehending geopolitics and coming forward and wishing to have as much control of your own destiny as possible in this system, and the more you work towards that goal, the more you become the captain of your own ship, if you will, to use their own nautical and maritime terminology. David, are you with us tonight? Down there in Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. We're gonna be getting some storms ourselves. Actually, talking about possible snow, which is pretty unusual down here. It's pretty unusual whenever you hear about. I believe we talked about not too long ago that last year a homeless person froze to death somewhere near my work. And that's unusual down here for somebody to freeze to death overnight, because it usually doesn't get that cold. But some strange weather we're having here, Chris, and I'm sure it's going on all over the country, as Renegade well knows.
Yeah, David, we're going to get into all of that government warfare against the people. And the theme tonight, and we've got a lot to cover as far as the news, as far as government documentation of what we're talking about connecting the dots between Operation CONUS Base, which is the offensive military operation by the Defense Intelligence Agency, United States Army, and joint Pentagon forces against the American people inside the United States. So we're going to get into the weather warfare, psychological, economic, biological warfare, conventional warfare they're engaging against us, and of course the psychotronic, electronic warfare, and much more. David, we're gonna cover all that stuff, and I just want to open up, or I just wish to, I should say, open up with what's been overwhelming. It's been overwhelming, like the elephant in the room over the past year, but especially over the past like several months, is this Russian espionage, or the narrative of Russian espionage inside of the United States, and the surprising reaction in support of the FSB and the GRU, which are Russian intelligence agencies. What would seem to be surprising, if the people out there didn't listen to Renegade, they would be perplexed by this. But we say over and over again that the same institutions that control the U.S. government control the Russian government, and it's so overwhelmingly obvious. And so we titled this show Russia and U.S. Jewish Puppets. And we discuss how in this show we're going to discuss as the overarching theme, and we'll cover a lot of subjects that one might not think comes back to this overarching theme of Russia and the United States being the nation state bastions of power in regard to military, energy, money creation, organized crime, intelligence operations. And they are basically, sometimes they work together, sometimes they pretend to be adversaries. And when I say they, I'm talking about the CIA and the FSB, or the DIA and the GRU, which are, I mean, you can't really separate them. They're constantly working together. We've discussed how specific Secret Service agents that I've had contact with tell me that they are, in a way, more loyal to Vladimir Putin and even Russian government officials than the Secretary of State of the United States or certain liberal Democrats. We've said their names. They'll say it on the radio. They have said it on the radio. John Carman told me that many times, former Secret Service agent.
Hey, and not to mention, Chris, that they're getting a lot of ordinary people to sycophantically go along and worship Putin. I can't tell you how many people that I've been in contact with that it's, I don't know if it's like a new phenomenon, but they're saying they wish Putin was our president instead of the filth we have here. I mean, they're getting us to accept this Bolshevik style government just more and more, and it's really becoming out of control.
Well, it really is, David, and the idea that Vladimir Putin is not involved in these child rape rings is absurd. His government, at least as far as exporting, you know, sex slaves, it's even worse than the U.S. I mean, now they say the biggest gathering of all sorts of sex slaves is always at the Super Bowl every year. I think that's global. But when there is a World Cup, I mean, absolutely. And look where the World Cup is going to be next. It's going to be in Russia. And imagine the combining of the Russian sex slave trade with the World Cup. And it's also interesting that we included in an image, and sometimes Kyle, I mean, I let Kyle take control, because if he makes executive decisions or editorial decisions, they've always been better than mine as far as picking the images for the show or coming up with the you know, slogans for like Apocalypse. That was Kyle's. You know, Kyle came up with that, and it worked much better than what I had. I don't even want to mention it. It was Abolish APAC or something like that. But in any event, we included a picture of Kissinger and Putin. So if that's not the image for this show, it doesn't matter. We're telling you, just do a Google search for Vladimir Putin and Henry Kissinger. And Henry Kissinger and every single United States president. So this guy is in the ear of all these world leaders. They come and go, come and go, come and go. But he's got a special relationship with Vladimir Putin. So, every U.S. Secretary of State, every muckety-muck politician around the world that got, if they're going to be an A-list New World Order agent, character, figure, they're going to meet with Henry Kissinger. Whether it's Xi Jinping, whether it's Donald Trump, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, they're all going to meet with Kissinger. Vladimir Putin, Kissinger. Kissinger. Boris Yeltsin, Kissinger. All of them. So they all meet with this guy, Henry Kissinger. We know the backstory on this Jew agent. The strange thing about Kissinger is you always hear about Kissinger's geopolitical influence and the fact that he's Heinz Kissinger, the freaking prototype Jew, the prototype Jewish mind, but you never hear him as like, wow, he's a trillionaire. He's one of these guys that, really old, really, past the death of the average person by a decade at least. Old. This guy, when's he gonna croak? And he just keeps going, and he keeps showing up. He keeps even showing up to communicate to the American people, but he's always in the ear of these leaders. So what do they think? That we're going to go to war in Russia and they're going to cancel the World Cup next year? Maybe that's the next thing in this PSYOP. Not that that really matters, because, what would it matter if they, boycotted the Olympics or, some other espionage thing? But I want to talk about John McCain, and I want to talk about Lindsey Graham and their trip to Estonia. David, have you been hearing any of this stuff about, because I've been hearing it for the past 2 or 3 years, and it's ramped up this like showdown over Estonia type thing. Have you heard anything about that, Russia versus Estonia?
No, that I have not.
Okay. Well, in any event, just know that Estonia is a former Soviet satellite, still a Soviet satellite, and that John McCain and Lindsey Graham. Oh, and there's a lot of rhetoric out in amongst NATO that there needs to be a buildup around Estonia and Poland and Romania, which is where they had NATO headquarters moved to Romania. I think that they've since moved it, but I think it was some time back in 2014 or 2015 they had NATO headquarters moved to Romania. No offense to Romania.
Chris, yeah. I thought NATO headquarters, correct me if I'm wrong, I really thought it was Brussels.
It is Brussels, but they had look it up. I'll find this link. Of course they didn't move NATO headquarters from Brussels, but they had some sort of ceremonial moving of the NATO headquarters to Romania for some reason. I might try to look this up real quick on Google if I can. I don't want to overload the system, but with this new system that we have, it seems I might be able to do that. Let's see. H headquarters. Yeah, so this will be really good because obviously, yeah, Brussels is NATO activates new multinational division Southeast headquarters to Bucharest. So yeah, Southeast division headquarters, of course. David, thank you very much for correcting me, and of course you're correct and I was incorrect, and that was when they activated this new Southeast headquarters for NATO in Romania. In any event, these NATO countries and Russia, Russia sells the oil, this Rosneft, Gazprom, Yukos, whatever they call it now, this one of the largest natural energy supplies of anywhere in the world. Russia, the government, and these are mostly state-owned, they're quasi public-private partnerships that own these natural resources, which Russia is a gigantic country with lots of oil reserves and lots of other strategic commodities. Let's just put it that way. And I'll tell you who they sell to the most, and that is Turkey and Europe. And what's Europe? It's NATO countries, and then you add to that, like, what? Turkey and the United States? And now we're having all of these things come together in Turkey all of a sudden. These on-again, off-again feuds between Erdogan and these lovers' spats between Erdogan and Putin and Obama, and like the honeymoon between Putin and Trump. And we're supposed to accept, hey, Lindsey Graham and John McCain are in a foreign country in Estonia, and they're telling us that Russia has engaged in an act of war against the United States government. The Russian Federation has acted through their manipulation of the election, which they lie about, this manipulation of the election, and that it's an act of war. The espionage is an act of war, and they're sitting in some foreign country, Estonia. I mean, I know where it is because I had to look it up. But I mean, and I looked it up when they first started ramping up this Estonia v. Russia thing years ago. But two senior United States senators are talking about an act of war against the United States government. And this is involving, of course, Russia, Turkey, ISIS, the United States government, NATO, Europe, which is being flooded by these refugees fleeing these wars that folks are really dying in, created by fake scenarios and Russian, U.S., and Israeli and Saudi and British intelligence creating something that they're calling ISIS, which are media. ISIS is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. We went through that, and David illuminated a lot of us if we weren't already aware about the C-SPAN interview with the folks who identified the real name for Mossad is ISIS. And so we know that, and we know that there's an actual real decimation of the civilian population of Syria by the Syrian government forces, by the United States military, by the Israeli military, by the French military, by the British military, by the Russian military, by the Turkish military, by other organized military groups financed by Iran and China. So basically all of these governments that make money and gain strategic advantage by going to war, are engaged in war against the same tiny population in this tiny country, more than eight nations, bombarding the crap and making money every step of the way, and forwarding their agenda and leveraging their assets and indebting the people and setting up further scenarios to use this Syrian operation to smuggle drugs, smuggle guns, smuggle sex slaves, smuggle everything. Do it. Hey, you want to find an easy place to smuggle all of these things? Find a war zone, and then you'll find some place where that's where everything's smuggled out of. So there, it's in their strategic advantage to wage war, and they're all waging war against the same helpless group of individuals. And who it is? Well, we went through it. It's all the most powerful militaries in the world. David, does that make any sense that any of these guys could possibly be really at war? I mean, the only time Russia and the United States ever are really at war, they're in the same theater and they're fighting the same side. World War One, World War Two, Afghanistan, Iraq. Oh, but more than ever, Syria, they're all working together. Oh, and they're saying that Russia and the U.S. are having bad relations? Well, how can they be having bad relations when the United States, one of the most regulated industries in the United States, is selling off its most valuable assets to the Russian government? When I'm talking about uranium and how Uranium One, the Canadian company that owned American uranium mines, run by this guy Frank Guistra, who's like the guy who helps Bill Clinton run the Clinton Foundation, Frank Guistra sold off Uranium One, a Canadian owned, which is NATO, which is basically, you know, I mean, British Commonwealth, I mean, whatever you want to call it, it's a NATO country. They own a bunch of companies inside the United States until they sold their holdings in the U.S. off to Russia. And it wasn't just about Russian uranium or American uranium mines. There were uranium mines in other countries that were controlled by Western interests that were handed right over in the same agreement to Russia. So this is happening. So we're expected to believe that everything just switches on a dime. That one day Erdogan and Vladimir Putin and Turkey and Russia are at war, and then the next day after there's a fake shooting of this Russian ambassador to Turkey, the next day, you know, then they're best friends right after that happens. Hey, that's great. Some Turkish police officer shot the Russian ambassador in the back. Hey, now's the time for us to be best friends. So now they're even putting this cognitive dissidence kind of narrative out there. And then they're combining that with Donald Trump making statements like, don't ever trust anything that's on a computer, and communicating this through a computer, through Twitter, which is constantly hacked, and these, you know, websites, Twitter sites, Facebook pages are hacked. I mean, that's happened on my Facebook page. People have hacked into my Facebook page and done things that were not for me. So what, you think they're going to do that to me, and they're not going to do that to everybody else? And you believe, you know, where's your proof that these guys are even tweeting? Where's your proof that Donald Trump is tweeting any of this stuff that he's tweeting? You know, maybe we call out, say, hey, Donald Trump, we're going to need to show you, like, you know, some sort of close-up videotape every time something's tweeted out from you to verify that that's even you tweeting it out, buddy. That's what I mean, if you believe that, I mean, I just don't understand how anybody believes anything, and it's a good thing I don't. David, on the other side of the break, we're going to get into this Jake Rake, who was the alleged victim, one of the alleged victims in this completely fake Istanbul nightclub shooting, where the story keeps changing over and over again, where it was, oh, this guy, Jake Rake, he says, I got shot in the fucking leg, man. These crazy people just came shooting everything. And then he's quoted as saying, I saw one person. And then they say that three guys walk in. And additionally, it's reported, this is what Nick was reporting on the air on Saturday night on Renegade, that multiple assailants wearing Father Christmas outfits, something similar to a Santa Claus outfit, broke into a Turkish nightclub in Istanbul, something I think it was called Celebrity Nightclub or something like that, opened up and started shooting and killed 39 people. And then they say, okay, no, it wasn't three people, it was one guy in a Santa Claus outfit. And so, okay, then they changed the story initially, just like this guy Jake Rake did on the spot. And Jake Rake is president of Tech Manufacturing Corporation, and according to what we can see, it's allegedly an aerospace company. Again, if you believe this identity, they can create fake online identities. You know, David, this guy says he got shot in the leg. He says it was a bunch of people shooting, and then he says it was just one. They say his cell phone is what saved his life because he was shot once in the leg, although there was no bleeding visible. And the second shot hit his cell phone, which is what saved his life. Haha, and I guess that's why he didn't get any video of it, because the cell phone was hit by an AK-47. David, do you believe any of this nonsense?
Not at all, Chris.
All right, we're gonna get delve really deep into this on the other side of the break. This is a wild card on Renegade Broadcasting.
Storm coming to you every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I deal with topics related to our past, present, and most importantly, our future. The show has a lot to offer. Occult knowledge, insightful interviews, hard-hitting analysis, and essential inspiration. I know we are living in a world filled with darkness, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We have the power to take back control of our world and reclaim our destiny. But we're running out of time. We need all hands on deck. Will you do your part? Join the struggle and fight for our freedom.
Welcome back, everyone. It is Thursday night, and it is 8:30 on the East Coast here in occupied United States of America. Our government is occupied by a foreign entity to our people. And that is, of course, organized Jewry. You could call it the Kosher Nostra, you know, in reference to the fact that it is a organized crime syndicate, the top organized crime syndicate, because there's no rule of law that sits at the basis of society around the world. It is a criminal syndicate that is overseeing everything, and the top criminal syndicate, or the most powerful one, at least as far as manipulating the governments of the world, is this organized Jewish cabal. And they have infiltrated pretty much everywhere. They've infiltrated the Vatican, of course, the Defense Department here in the United States. They run all the intelligence agencies. Now, and they have their sycophantic followers, or their psychopaths amongst all nationalities and creeds, races, ethnicities, so forth. But at the end of the day, that's the most powerful faction. It's a small faction. It's such a small overall percentage of the world population, and yet they have preeminence over everything. I mean, just think if it was just this small group and they were just controlling one, but it's impossible for one to just control one thing. If you control the media, you can easily control the money. Or, you know, let's put it this way. If you control the money, you easily can control every other single thing. Control the money, control the mind of the planet. Who controls the money controls the mind. It's that simple. So who controls the money? Who controls the media? Who controls the military? If you put out an investment, are you going to say, hey, I'm going to invest and, you know, I'm going to hand it off to somebody who is in control of all the guns in the world? And I'm going to give them this money to overthrow me, to go against my best interest? No. This military and offensive conventional weapons and occupations and everything else, they're just a means to an end of consolidating power. And we're going to get into the connection of, man, I mean, they've got unlimited resources, and we're going to get into how these crisis actor events are just military operations. You know, we call them Operation Gladio, but there was something new I saw, and a number of people are talking about it now, and I forget what video it was. I'll try to put the one up that I found in the comment section. But in any event, part of it has a interview between Nick Spiro and Oli Demigard, and so Max. So in any event, what the point of this all is that this guy Jake Rake, as he is coming into the country, he's allegedly from Delaware, and he is coming in to the United States, and he allegedly is wearing a hat that says Quiet Storm on it. That hat again says Quiet Storm. And when he's coming into the country, this is the part, like, they're throwing it in our face at this point. It's not even interesting to dissect this stuff anymore. It bores me now. But it is worth noting. As he's coming into the United States and talking to CNN and NBC News, etc., he says this: I don't want to talk about what happened inside the club. Then he says, very unfortunate. And that's Jake Rake, the alleged victim in this. Then he starts laughing. Look at the video. He laughs. They call it duping delight. That's not duping delight. That's laughing at the camera. Saying, like, I don't want to talk about it. Because what's he going to say? The thing hit my cell phone. What happened when it hit the cell phone? Where is your cell phone right now? No, I don't want to talk about it. I just witnessed 39 people die. I think it's real funny, but I don't want to talk about it. Hey, I'm wearing a hat that says Quiet Storm, which is a Defense Intelligence Agency clandestine operation. But I don't want to talk about it, but I will laugh in your faces. And my name's Jake Rake, allegedly the president of Tech Manufacturing Corporation with clients Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Honeywell, L3, etc. Okay, what is that likely? David, do you think that that's true? Hey, we'll get into what Quiet Storm is. Like, what on the scale of like 1 to 10, and 10 being the most absurd nonsense you've ever heard in your life, where do you think that lies on that scale of absurdity?
Fake news.
Yeah, fake news. Good one. Good one, David. Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Absolutely. Fake news.
Because we know it pertains to us because we're having such an effect, and that's still part of Operation Mockingbird, to send out so much conflicting disinformation to where nobody seems to have an opinion at all. Just remain neutral, and that's when they got you where they want you, and that's where we see most people now.
Yeah. I mean, that is where we see most people now. They really don't necessarily know what to believe unless you're listening to Renegade. I mean, everybody else, there's something that makes them, there's an element with everyone else, either through every other outlet that I come across, there's too much of an element of deception through either intentional or unintentional omission or commission. So you're never really it's the same. It's not that complicated. What we're saying week in and week out, and that's when you got to start wondering about everyone else. When we are the only ones that are saying this stuff, we were the only ones that were not on the so-called, left wing that were attacking Trump, and we did it, 10 times better than their alleged opponents in the Democratic Party. We took down Trump much better than their fake opponents. And when you listen to others, they don't connect all the dots, and they don't say it just as like as simple as can be. When you see some guy laughing and saying that he doesn't want to talk about the fact that somebody, that he got shot twice in the leg, and that 7 of the 9 people he went to celebrate New Year's with are dead, and that he witnessed all this, and that he thinks it's funny? He's laughing? Give me a break. Okay, so then we look into this further, and we find out this guy is a military contractor, and he's an actor, and that he's wearing a hat using this lesser magic, as we tell you every time. They have to tell you. It's their code of honor. Their magic doesn't work. They want to say it's karma. These people, their karma is already fucked. Karma is like something that folks have maybe misused the word. So, I mean, I guess they could have like instant karma, but this is more like for their own purposes. Karma is like something that is like, you know, something that makes one grow. It's not necessarily a negative thing, but when they're using it for this black magic, it becomes negative. But they have to taunt you. One could say that this taunting with the fact that Jake Rake is wearing a hat that says "Quiet Storm" when he says, "I don't want to say anything." Well, let's do the direct quote again. "I don't want to talk about what happened inside the club. Very unfortunate. Ha 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 ha." And he's wearing a hat that says "Quiet Storm." And I just want to read you something a little bit about Quiet Storm, which is part of National Ground Intelligence Center. The Quiet Storm is an interagency counter improvised explosive device targeting and analysis effort. Let's see. What else does it have? Sorry. Quiet Storm program IDs intel gaps in analytic knowledge and provides measures to rectify inadequacies. Excuse me. Analysts present briefings on a wide variety of intel products to officers and government officials to work closely with a multitude of, here we go, pay attention to these words, CONUS, CONUS, and OCONUS based intelligence and field operations. Law enforcement agencies in various regions of the globe. Let's see. Will be performed, and all this will be performed on site at NGIC, Charlottesville, Virginia. That's very close to the underground base in Albemarle County, which is their cover is that this is owned by AT&T, and this is where the alleged intelligence officers are going to scurry off to in case of national emergency. But this is where a lot of this military operation is going out of these mountain bases. You could call them underground bases, under mountain military bases, like the one described around Charlottesville, Virginia, in Albemarle County, which is also the location of, what's the name of that again? National Ground Intelligence Center. David, I mean, within hours of this Orlando shooting, we're like, yeah, obviously it's fake. And then we're like, oh, okay, then maybe like an hour, you know. Well, actually, right when it happened, we're like, fake. Then like, 30 minutes later, we're talking on international television saying, hey, this is an operation of G4S Security Services. And then we connect the dots and go, hey, wait a second. That's weird that G4S Security Services, they were running a drill exactly like the Orlando shooting at the Manchester Town Center and Old Trafford Stadium, which just so happened to be something that led to the delay of the final game of the Barclays Premier League, English Premier League soccer. Of course, Manchester United and Bournemouth was the final game of last season. That was delayed for a day because of a fake bomb left by G4S Security Service, who is acting out the events that took place in Orlando. So we know that when we can connect these dots real quick. It's like, oh yeah, it's fake. Oh yeah, that guy's a crisis actor. This is this guy's name. But it's beyond that. We have the names of these specific intelligence operations that this specific event is a part of. So when we give kind of like a generic title to these events, like we go, this is Operation Gladio type event, right? We use that terminology. Man, they're like, oh, is that what you think? Well, actually, it's Quiet Storm, and we're going to rub your noses in it. So we've identified what Quiet Storm is, that it's part of National Ground Intelligence Center, that Quiet Storm is working closely with a multitude of CONUS. Hey, David, you know what CONUS stands for when they say Operation CONUS Base? Stands for Continental U.S. Continental United States. David, you were just talking about Operation Mockingbird, right? So when they first started, you know, the subterfuge, but you know, and folks were figuring out what was going on in Operation Mockingbird and the CIA, they go, oh, the CIA, it's illegal for them to operate inside the United States. Oh, really? I guess that's why their headquarters is in Langley, Virginia. I guess they don't do any work in their headquarters in Langley, Virginia, right? So you see how easy it is to pick out these lies that they will write volumes. They'll write thousands of pages of books, thousand page books on how the CIA, how it's illegal for the CIA to operate inside the United States, and somebody can go, wait, look over here. The CIA's headquarters is in the United States. And so when they say, okay, Operation Mockingbird, oh, no, 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 no. That's the CIA manipulation of foreign media. Oh, okay, foreign media.
That's not what I'm reading right now.
Well, of course, that was their original thing that they said. And then, of course, yeah, it came to be known during the Church Commission, you know, back in the 70s that, of course, the Wall Street Journal, CBS News, the New York Times, Washington Post, all were run by the CIA, of course.
That's
yeah.
Right. Ever since 1948, or during 1948, it says right here they have already took control of 25 newspapers and wire agencies. So, I mean, that's people were very limited in those days to the flow of information. So, I mean, that's a lot of mainstream newspapers, and you can really control a message. I mean, at least in 1948 with 25 newspapers.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I was saying, David, at first, even though the whole time, you know, they're operating inside the United States, but always their first line of defense when they're doing dirty stuff is like, oh, no, 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 we're not doing dirty stuff to you. We're doing dirty stuff to them so they don't do dirty stuff to you. And then people are like, dumb people are like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, as long as they're doing dirty stuff to other people, they'll keep them from doing dirty stuff to us. Oh, duh, okay. But the whole time, of course, the CIA and Operation Mockingbird, which is the CIA control over all the media inside the United States, alternative and otherwise, besides Renegade. And like I said, all the others are irrelevant. I mean,
yeah, and Operation Mockingbird played a good role in covering up Operation Northwoods, which is probably when they started whipping out false flags like it was nobody's business in Cuba with I'm looking at all these all I got to say is we really did a lot of tear asses around Cuba in those days, and with the staged missile crisis and the so-called submarine that Oliver Stone talks about that almost started World War III. I mean, look, there's a reason why we've never been in a hot war with Russia. That's why we've only been in a cold war, because, you know, behind the back door, there's always been Reds behind the back door, but it's never been an accident, you know, because we've left the back door open for them.
None of the five-year plans, none of the Soviet plans would have even come close to being adequate without Western corporations, Western banking financing. Look at the Arm and Hammer Corporation and how those guys were running the show, and that Averell Harriman was basically a front for the, you know, a lot of the activity of the Soviet government. Of course, we know that the Soviets were all Jews, and of course we know they needed, you know, subsidies from corporations like Caterpillar to even feed, you know, do the bare bones minimum of coming close to feeding their population. And so that this was a joint it was formed when Western interests unleashed, you know, when Western financial and intelligence interest unleashed Trotsky and Lenin and the other Jewish Bolsheviks on the poor Russian people. But it's coming home to roost for us now too. And when I say CONUS base, Continental United States, and OCONUS, intelligence and field operations. So that means operations inside the United States, aggressive warfare inside the United States, and aggressive warfare outside the United States. So they just, the script is the same with this Cold War scenario. So of course, the U.S. and Russia gang up on the Jew-run U.S. and Russian government, use the sacrificial lambs to go and kill their cousins in Europe during World War I and World War II, mostly targeting Germans. And so we went through leading up to today, and so now what they're saying is that some of these tweets from Donald Trump, I mean, they're making their job a lot easier with this Mockingbird. They don't have to set up like big geopolitical, like, you know, scenarios that can, you know, fake scenarios that can cause some sort of destabilization or somebody to get trigger happy and blow up the world. Now they're saying that Donald Trump himself could, you know, tweet something which sets off North Korea or sets off China or sets off sets off anybody, whatever, whoever they want to say is going to do something bad, do the worst thing. It's absurd. And of course, when you talk about Operation Mockingbird now, you talk about things like Site Intelligence, which is an Israeli Mossad entity run by this Jewish woman named Rita Katz. We've been talking about her on Press TV, Al Alam TV, Renegade Broadcasting for many, many years now. And they basically just make up a scenario and say one person tweets out, oh, ISIS did it. And then it becomes the gospel fact because one Israeli Mossad agent tweeted something out. If that's not the epitome of Mockingbird, Operation Mockingbird, I don't know what is, David. What do you make of this Rita Katz and her connection with this Quiet Storm and this New Year's fake ass whatever in Istanbul, Turkey?
Well, that's something I really haven't quite looked into, but you know, I can tell you it's the same old script, it's the same old fictional scenarios. They're just writing up and throwing out there as the new latest episode of the news. You know, it's like tuning into your favorite primetime show every night. The news. I mean, because why do you think they call it Fox Entertainment? Because on some level, it is entertaining, especially with certain history shows they've had on there, where, you know, with reenactments and such. And who's to say that, you know, that alone is just a movie or a fictional episode of some sort? I mean, and yet again, that is the epitome of Operation Mockingbird, because in a way they're mocking us, because we seem to buy into everything as a mass, not us at Renegade, but the entirety of the people as a mass right now are buying into the official narrative, because, you know, what is a Lenin? A Lenin goes along to get along.
That's absolutely right, David. It's like this. We come back to this, you know, statement attributed to William Casey. We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false. So they're on their way. They've arrived at their destination. I'd like to get into a little bit of back to at the end of the day when everybody's fighting, when everybody's at each other's throat. It always, when the dust clears, it's always the Jew who comes out on top. And I want to discuss a little bit about how Chuck Schumer is now in a very prominent position in this government. His niece, the filthy cultural Marxist, Amy Schumer, and how this is a gigantic reality television show, and how Omarosa from The Apprentice is now threatening members of the government on behalf of Donald Trump. Much more after the break. Wild card. Light up the farthest shore. Hail, hail, Sunna, steer us forevermore.
About South Africa and Western schools, other than that there was an evil apartheid government of white racists who oppressed everyone until the great Saint Nelson Mandela came along. Now you can learn the real history of exploration, conflict, concentration camps for the Boers, Jewish-funded black terrorism, Winnie Mandela and her necklacing, rampant murder and rape under the ANC, the so-called squatter camps, how the Rainbow Nation is a blueprint for what's to come for whites worldwide, and so much more. Between Heaven and Hell, The True Story of Whites in South Africa by Sinead McCarthy. Free to watch at whitesouthafrica.com. You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome back, everyone. This is a wild card. I'm very happy to be doing this wild card. Lot to cover, especially now. This nonsense is coming at us. It's flying fast and furious, pun intended, because this is all a government operation. We were discussing at the end of the last hour, Chuck Schumer and his niece, Amy Schumer. And the kind of segue into Chuck Schumer is that no matter what, no matter whether you're talking about the Soviet Union or the Russian Federation or Republican administration, Democratic administration, Republican Senate, Democratic Senate, Republican House, Democratic House, the one thing that always is an overarching theme is that Israel and the interest of the Jews that control and own the banks, that control the media, that run the U.S. government, that run the Russian government, their interests and their guys will always be in place. They'll argue about whether it's Russia or not. You'll have one Jew argue with another Jew about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton or Russia versus the United States or this or that, but they'll all come together over Israel. They'll all come together over, oh no, no, we can't say anything else but that this fake Holocaust is the worst thing that's ever happened to humanity. And what I'll say is that the lie of that is the worst thing that ever happened to humanity. You don't believe this nonsense. You gotta demand proof of this nonsense. And David, I wanna do this weird thing that I like to do, and I don't even want to call it weird. I'll just say this is what I like to do. I like to combine everything because they tell us that our birth certificate is like our ship manifest. That makes us, you know, our all uppercase letters and our parents allegedly, you know, signing, or anybody who's birthed in a hospital, you know, you birth a ship, of course. Whoever goes through the birthing process is like a, you know, piece of cargo at sea. It's cargo. We're, you know, according to this maritime law system, we're cargo, and we could have, you know, maintenance and upkeep, of course, which, you know, could be transcribed to, you know, compensation in some sort of way in their legal terms. But in any event, the reason that they say this is because we come from our mother's water, and we go, you know, from our mother's water out into the world, and that mostly water. And so they're, therefore, you know, any sort of idea that these alleged ovens that were never in operation other than to care for people who died of natural causes or even folks who died of the typhus epidemic, and that the amount of alleged burning in ovens of the Jews is so scientifically impossible due to the fact that human beings are almost 70% water. And therefore, these ovens that modern day ovens couldn't possibly, you know, running 24 hours a day, do what the cremation devices in alleged to have been utilized in these concentration camps. So again, you use scientific fact to just completely debunk these absolute nonsense sort of narratives. And David, you and I talk about these guys that we listen to on the radio and on TV who can figure out some of these false flags, but then they go, oh yeah, yeah, that one's a false flag, but this one's real.
I know where you're going with this, and one of them claims to be an American Muslim and tries to say that these false flags, only the ones that have Muslim claims to it are real, because there's a big agenda to cause Islamophobia, because Islamic people are of minority and they're being genocided right now. I mean, these are the people who are the most listened to. These are the ones that people follow before they go to us, because for some reason they seem to be able to have free roam, passports, travel the country, and smile and make a lot of money in the process.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. They talk about not what we talk about, which is like, hey, guys, we know this. This is becoming boring to us to go through all this stuff. And it's like, how many times are we going to sit around and talk about this stuff? I mean, when something like that happens, you know, sometimes it's pretty interesting if Press TV or Al Alam calls me up and I can just break it down in a 5 to 10 minute segment, everything that they need to know, everything that somebody needs to know to take some sort of action.
Chris, not to mention that Kevin Barrett jokingly said on his show, False Flag Weekly News, that Tony, there's getting to be so many false flags here. You know, I'm gonna have to write more books. Therefore, you know, travel more around the country. Kind of like he's subliminally saying that, you know, I wish for these false flags to continue so that I may make money off of talking about it and claim to do or try to mimic what renegade and honest people are doing and making shekels in the process.
Oh yeah, I mean, he'll cite my work. He cited my Richard Gutjahr work by putting my video on his blog when he started writing about. But I mean, I don't want to focus too much on him because he's close to what we're attempting to put out. But I just say this for everyone. I mean, you know, I mean Dabu 7. I mean, Russian vids. I mean, those guys are worse than Kevin Barrett. I mean, Kevin Barrett's kind of it is kind of sickening when you know that it's like, hey, wait a second, why is this guy, you know this guy is a, you know, he is the epitome of controlled opposition. All these guys are the epitome of controlled opposition. They don't want the real deal. They don't want us. They love to have these other guys come up against them, because again, like the most obvious thing, they say, oh yeah, this aligns with my political philosophy or my political leaning, So I'm going to act like one is real and one is fake. These guys thought, what about these guys like Dabu Seven and Scott Bennett? I mean, who else was on this, you know, Lavoy Finicum, you know, train? And that they can dissect this Charlie Hebdo shooting as fake. And they cannot, you know, use the same discernment on a similar kind of fake video. They just go along with the narrative of one, and that they are magically have the capability to discern the other. And I'll tell you, there's a matter of intelligence and motivation, but dissecting these false flags, there's not really much to it, David. The guys that act as if they are rock stars for doing, you know, for catching this stuff, you're not. It's not difficult. All you have to do is look at it. I mean, I tell you the tricks, David. When I get, you know, a couple hundred thousand views on my videos about false flags, or, you know, I get 90,000 views, 250,000 views, however many, basically, you know, it's just the same technique I use over and over again. I just watch what I see. I pick out the BS that I see with my own mind that anybody can do, and I get it out quicker than everybody else because, like I said, a lot of the stuff that was happening in Europe, man, who else is watching Bloomberg News or CNN or CNBC at 3:45 in the morning? So when this stuff happens, I'm like, well, here's an instant 100,000 views because I'm the first one to catch it. It's obviously a false flag. All I have to do is pick out the contradiction between what these guys are saying over the air while they're showing this live false flag event and what the video feed is displaying, and it's two different things. So it's not difficult. Now, we're telling you, these are the agencies that are doing this. This is an operation of Quiet Storm. What is Quiet Storm? Well, Quiet Storm is a part of the Defense Intelligence Agency. And it's a part of something called National Ground Intelligence Center. And it also works closely with a multitude of CONUS and OPCONUS based intelligence and field operations. Okay, so that's a field operation. That's a CONUS and OPCONUS, or not OPCONUS. OPCONUS is different than OCONUS. That's a CONUS and OCONUS operation because it's being streamed inside the United States for psychological warfare against the American people, using American citizens, using American intelligence officers, and they are operating inside of Turkey. Why is the so many Department of Homeland Security and FBI and CIA officers and DIA officers, it's like a hotbed for them in Turkey. They're always there. They're always in operation there. And guess who else is there? The FSB and the GRU. They're never contradicting each other. You know, the funny one I always hear is that Vladimir Putin is about to expose 9/11. Hey, David, how many times have we exposed 9/11? Just you and I on Renegade Broadcasting. Just you and I. Do you think?
Oh, many times, and including many others. And Chris, I just want to remind you, right fast, you will be taking calls, right?
Yeah, let's give that call out number now if you've got it.
Do you have it? Because if not, I'll.
I got it written down somewhere here in my notes, I think.
Okay, I'll go ahead and say it. It's 747-999-6407.
Thank you, David.
747, same area code, 999-6407. And please, don't let me be the only one that just calls in on Chris's show. I mean, he would love to hear from everybody else. We know there's more intelligent people out there than ourselves listening, especially me, I got to say. So please do your part, even if this is all you can do.
Yeah, absolutely, David. I appreciate that. And I'm very thankful that that folks do call in. We got a lot of calls in, and the shows are much better. Obviously, you know, I'm happy to just go back and forth on the news of the day and these one world government organized Jewish operations with you. So, I mean, either way, it's great. We're going to have an excellent show, excellent rest of the show. We got about 43 minutes left to go in the show. And thanks for getting that number for me, David. I've got my notes, and I'm pretty excited about this new call-in system. I'm going to be able to use the computer at the same time, so I'm going to have to adjust for a couple weeks probably to be adept at it, and hopefully everything keeps working. So if you get the chance and you feel like calling in and discussing these unbelievably important issues, again, call in. This is your chance. This stuff is pretty simple, and it's time to take action. We're going to talk about the action. I heard Kyle's the advertisement for the Solar Storm, and it's definitely, one needs to comprehend the past in order to comprehend the present and to have a vision for the future. But it's always, always good to focus on the present and the future. So we're just attempting to give you all the ability to do that. And that just give us a call if you feel like it. Numbers 747-999-6407. Is that correct, David?
Yep, that's correct.
All right, excellent.
6407.
Yeah, 747-999-6407. And we're going to get right back into it, David, because we have so much to cover. And I want to cover these fake feuds with Donald Trump because, again, when you see Donald Trump at WrestleMania, to me, that's all I needed to see. Oh, this guy's a professional wrestler. Okay. Oh, no, but it's different in politics. No, we're finding it's exactly the same. And so Donald Trump and his old buddy Chuck Schumer, they're having a war of words. And, of course, we remember Amy Schumer, right, David? That's the unfunny, totally, I don't know what the word for her would be, like, you know, I'm not calling her, like, well, you know, hey, she's filthy. I mean, her humor is like, whoa, I mean, easy now. Like, I mean, I used to listen to Howard Stern, and now I, you know, that stuff is like, I don't know. Obviously, it's a little more mainstream, but you know, this Amy Schumer is worse than Howard Stern ever was, and now she is marketed to children. She's being marketed to children. She is a celebrity spokesperson that is all over the media. Old Navy, Bud Light, you know, with her and that other false flag crisis actor Seth Rogen. We referenced that in the last show with Kim Jong-un and the stupid movie that Seth Rogen and whatever that guy Franco's name is. What's that guy's Franco's name?
James Franco. You mean the one from the North Korean movie that was made by the military?
Yes, and that was another false flag, because I remember some right wingers that were like, oh, here's where you can see this movie in Martinsburg, West Virginia. They're showing this at the drive-in out in Goochland, Virginia. oh, here's where you can go see the movie in Hagerstown, Maryland. Go support this guy. Don't put up with tyranny. Go spend money on this movie and show your don't like Kim Jong-un or North Korea. And then it's like, wait a second. Wasn't there already a movie about this called like Team America World Police where the actors were at war with Kim Jong-il and then they repeat it. And then they say that Sony was they had this whole psychological operation going on. And then at the end of the day, all they were telling people to do was go see a filthy, stupid movie with unfunny, stupid-ass actors. That's how to stick it to North Korea? Buy a movie ticket?
No, they're laughing at us.
Of course. Thank you, Dave.
The leaders know damn well that our government created the movie. I mean, because they have the same contact with us that we have with Netanyahu, with Vladimir Putin, with even Assad, even the Saudi prince. They're all one and the same. So, I mean,
they are
the ones who are laughing at us.
David, what about, David, I've not once had dinner with the Secretary of State of the United States. I have to work very hard and actually do some like clandestine operation to like, catch these guys sleeping sometimes, sneak up on them, show up when I'm not expected, where they would know, how did he know to show up here? How did he get in here? Like, I have to do that sort of thing. And you've never seen me with a picture of, sitting down at dinner with freaking the Syrian president or the Secretary of State, these guys who allegedly are fronting these governments that are at war with each other, that the people of these countries have nothing to do with any control of their own government, that are allegedly warring with one another, and yet the leaders of these governments, they're always like eating together, drinking together, meeting at international financial forums together. And David, I'll tell you, man, when I go to any of these events where I know that there's security officers around and there's open bars and free food, man, do you think I'm stupid enough to eat anything there and to drink? These folks are so relaxed. They're eating, drinking, glad-handing. And then the next thing you know, some bullshit happens, some false flag happens. Oh, we have to, this is espionage, this is a state of war, this is unprecedented. Well, last week you were, eating freaking caviar together. Last week, Sergey Lavrov and John Kerry are eating caviar together. Next week they got it scheduled again. Vladimir Putin and Barack Obama are making angry faces at one another. The honeymoon's over. And then Donald Trump comes in. Oh, hey, Israel, just wait. I'm almost there. Hey, Russia, just wait. I'm tweeting out. Do whatever you want to. Your government is ours. And like you said, now folks are going like, hey, yeah, I'm a patriot and I love Vladimir Putin. I love the KGB. I love Israel.
They're trying to say he saved Syria. Like the guy we talked about before.
Nobody
Kevin
saved
Barrett.
Syria, man. They all destroyed Syria together. Syria cannot be
saved.
You can't save something that's already kaput. It's already destroyed. You can't save it. You may be able to rebuild, or you might even be able to use the term resurrect, but you can't say that anybody saved anything. And I know you're not saying that. I'm saying that this is nonsense, like everything else, on its very face. You see it, it's right there in plain sight. If you look past the obvious, of course you'll never figure out what's going on. It's all nonsense. And of course, that's just a cop-out. If you just say, oh, it's all nonsense. I know how everything works. It's all nonsense. No, you have to be able to dissect the nonsense. You have to be, you know, equipped to know what operation this particular nonsense is a part of. And when...
Chris, go ahead, David. We're coming into the last half hour. In the last half hour of the show, you want to read from some of these info dumps that me, you, and Glenn were supposed to read from. And we must say we're sorry that Mr. Glenn Sumpfin wasn't able to be with us tonight. He wasn't feeling so well, so it's just me and Chris and whoever will
call in.
Yeah, absolutely, David. Yeah, if you want to give that number one more time before the break here, and I'll just add a few more thoughts on that. And of course, Glenn will be on Monday. And folks who listen to this show, Glenn and I, there's a number of folks that go into these dangerous situations that, you know, we put on the internet, on YouTube, on Richmond Peace or RVA for Peace. It's Richmond Peace, I think. You can get to it from there. But in any event, Glenn is a camera person. He stands in the middle of all this stuff. You know, he's a firsthand witness when we watch these false flag events in real time. And also, one of the main reasons we like to have him on is because he used to work in the military, and one of his jobs was destroying and getting rid of these army manuals. And he, for the past several decades, has been writing about the classified and declassified military operations, offensive military operations of the United States military, the United Nations, NATO, etc. And we went through all the different types of warfare that the government's engaged in against us, and we'll get into that information on the other side of the break. So stay with it. Essential information.
Jews and their beloved Israel. This is America.
Hey, don't say that. Jews do so much for us and deserve our thanks.
Okay, so what do they do?
Although they are only 2% of the population, they are running our banks and overall monetary system, ensuring our children receive proper education and medication, entertaining us with TV, movies, magazines, and gossip, running some of our biggest corporations, including the big tech giants, weeding out awful hate speech, and promoting the rainbow of alternative lifestyles and gender identities, and funding the campaigns of our honorable and honest politicians.
Wow, they sure do a lot.
That's right. Don't be an anti-Semite. Let the chosen rulers of this world know you appreciate them.
Thanks, Jews!
Welcome back, everyone. This final half hour of this wild card, and I've got David, this is Chris Dorsey with you, and David Dotrieve is also on the show. And in case you're just joining us, we're debunking the ideas that these governments of the world have any real animosity towards each other, and that the real war, although there are factional infighting, the real type of infighting, not like the type we do with these fake phonies like David Duke or Andrew Anglin or Richard Spencer, that we can't infight with them because they're not part of our movement. They're Jewish controlled opposition agents. And so they do infight. So it is, you know, because it is possible for Vladimir Putin and Obama or interest within them to infight a little bit because they're part on the same team. But they're not going to mess up their operation. They're not going, you know, because that somebody's way above them, definitely. So I do want to just make it clear that we are, you know, laying out documents from the government when we're talking about this quiet storm and the National Ground Intelligence Center. We didn't make up that information. And we wouldn't have known about it without those involved in, you know, the Quiet Storm program advertising themselves. We wouldn't have known about it. Some might know about it. Some in the know might have known about it, but I would not have. So it's documented. We can't make this stuff up. We wouldn't know how to make this stuff up. And it's been around for years and years and years. And there's no disputing it. Hey, there's an unknown caller on the call. So, unknown caller. Identify yourself, unknown caller, or I'm going to hang up on you.
The Joker.
It's the Joker. Okay. Why do you call his unknown caller Joker? What do you have to say?
I haven't heard anything so far.
All right. Well, I'm going to put you on mute then. And unknown caller referring to himself as Joker is calling in. Hey, well, I'm glad he identified himself there, David, aren't you? I mean, it's very clear. We know who we're dealing with. The unidentified unknown caller named Joker. Possibly not his real name, though. Possibly. So in any event, yeah, this National Ground Intelligence operation. And I'm having a little trouble getting the info dump up on the computer. It's not showing up for me as far as something I can access. So a lot of it has
pulled up.
Yeah, okay. So just, you know, it talks about Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, you know, Operation Popeye, HAARP. And that's all I can see. That's all I can see on my screen right now, unfortunately. So I am, you know, I'm just – that's all I can see. If you want to discuss that, it's you're going to have to take the lead on that, David.
Well, I see Operation Paperclip is one of the topics. So I guess we'll just head straight to that.
Yeah.
That was the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services program, in which more than 1,500 German scientists, engineers, and technicians from the Nazi Party whom were recruited into the employment of the post-Nazi Germany after World War II.
David, I want to stop you right there. I want to stop you right there because I'm glad you brought this up. And there's some folks out there that have really they're reactionary. They're reactionary, and I want to make this clear. Folks have gotten on my case because I'm not, you know, I haven't, you know, always been gung-ho behind any political movement, which I'm not, but I want to make this clear that the way that's written, it's really false, because these guys were taken captive and they were forced. They were split up, and you know, in an agreement between the United States and the Soviet Union and the other so-called Jewish allies, they were forced. They weren't recruited. You know, that makes it sound like, hey, you guys are the bad guys in all this operation, and we're going to recruit you. And that's where everything goes wrong and bad with the United States government. No, these guys were forced. This Operation Paperclip, it wasn't like it was some grand scheme that these Nazi scientists had. It's like, oh yes, we'll destroy Germany and spread evil thought processes, and now we'll move to the United States. No. They were forced.
Well, so, and don't ever forget, there were traitors, more traitors in the Nazi Party than people think. I mean, I really believe that probably played a key role in the downfall of the National Socialists, because you can say in a way it was taken down from the inside. I mean, they made a movie about it with Tom Cruise.
Wait a second. Let's get to the heart of the matter, though. Let's get to the heart of the matter. So when those engaging in war allegedly against the National Socialists, against the government, what do they all say? And folks, they might be able to name it better than I. They say, no. The target is not National Socialism. The target is the body of the German people.
Hey, correct.
So because these, you know, I mean, there were, you know, of course, the kangaroo court known as the Nuremberg trials, they off some guys. But the basic rank and file and the German population were treated much worse than these guys that were forced into working for both the Soviet Union and also forced into working with the CIA. And, of course, they needed CIA and KGB officers to operate the German government in West Germany and East Germany, too, of course.
Hey, Chris, let me make this clear. You know, I truly believe what Hitler and the National Socialists accomplished was outstanding, was great. I mean, taking the root of the problem, which was the Jewish usury system, and establishing, you know, your own economic growth. But there's still a lot of unanswered questions that I personally have about, you know, before the Nazi Party was started. You know, how were they able to acquire enough funding up to that point to get as big as they did, and not to mention as a lot of business they did in the United States? And correct me if I'm wrong, maybe with the Bush family, Standard Oil, IG Farben, Henry Ford for sure. He kept a portrait of Adolf Hitler, and I could probably go on and on, but does any of this sound familiar to you, Chris?
Yeah, of course, David. I mean, Coca-Cola, IBM, I mean, that was the other thing. I mean, if folks really want to know about the numbers at the concentration camp, who would know? IBM. IBM would know, because that's how they kept track of the inmates at the jail, which is basically what it was. I mean, it wasn't a jail like the pictures from the pictures I've seen before typhus. Man, I've unfortunately, due to me being a political target of the government, I've been to a few jails in my time, and they didn't look like a concentration camp. And you know, there was no tavern. Couldn't drink a beer, couldn't swim in a pool, none of that. But in any event, which was worse, the internment camps in the United States or the internment camps in Germany or in Poland or in the territory controlled by the government of the National Socialist Germans. Which was worse? I don't know. I mean, the Red Cross says that there were about 300,000 Jews that died at the concentration camp, mostly due to typhus. We already referenced the fact that the extermination is impossible, scientifically impossible, to have taken place on all sorts of different levels. So
exactly. Even if you got them to machine gun themselves willingly to their own death, it would have been impossible to kill that many people over that short period of time.
And the population would not have remained the same. That would have been a big dent in the population of European Jews. And there was no dip in the population during this time. If you killed 6 million, that would have been close to, 40%. So,
also, I've just been thinking, maybe because of, Hitler did business with so many people. I mean, because he was an admired man. I mean, he was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. And because of that, he was probably going to have traitors in his ranks. I mean, I've seen the movie Valkyrie. I mean, even though it's an inaccurate portrayal of history, it's still the winner's side of history, the movie, but it really goes to show me that, there really was grand plots. And I've learned about it in mainstream history, about over the years, there was a lot of assassination attempts on him. So he was...
I'll tell you this one thing, and this is... this is something that I acquired with time, but also, just with time and knowledge. When you talk about a human being, you're talking about, a creation of God, of course, but you're also talking about an animal that cannot be perfect. But as far as this guy, not this guy, the man Adolf Hitler, in comparison to every other modern politician, he is much more honorable, much more seeming to me, my belief, much more intelligent, much more heroic. I mean, they had that thing about John Kerry, and the Swift boats and all this other stuff. Man, these guys, they were on the front line of active, dangerous warfare. This guy is not some sort of war, chicken hawk. He named the enemy. They made moves, although there is the only questions I ever have, and this is where it seems that we run into the brick wall. The only problem I have, and I have not, I have investigated this as much as I know how to investigate it at this point, is the connection between the Bank for International Settlements and the German government. Now, of course, there's lots of details in the fact that this was set up by the Dawes Plan, which was the way that Germany was going to, transfer so-called reparations to France and Germany and the United States. And that, according to a lot of these other plans, they got double-crossed in the operation of the Bank for International Settlements, because basically the German people were paying reparations to arm the enemies surrounding Germany with high-tech new military killing machines. And so then, of course, Germany had to respond in kind, and the German government and the German people. But I think the overall theme of this is... What the rhetoric that came out of the Jewish commissars and the Jewish Soviet propagandists that writing books like All Germans Must Die. I'm going to try to find the All Germans Must Die or Perish. Let's see. I think that's what the book was called. Germany Must Perish, Theodore N. Kaufman. So again, this stuff is happening today. It's part of their plan today. If you listen to our last show, I try to take things the best way I can, but I am a German, and like that's something that I can't help. I can't help it. You know, I'm not exclusively that, but you know, going through my extensive genealogical records and certain family members of their DNA testing, that's what I am. And when a group of people that's still around and obviously are moving forward with their plan, Germany must perish, Germany must die, rape and kill as many Germans as you can all the time, I mean, that's what we have here. We have Germany being flooded with refugees in this war that we discussed ad nauseum. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to keep going through over and over again what's going on. All of the military powers in the world are bombing the crap out of Syria, and then they're driving the Syrian people out of Syria. They're being log jammed in Turkey, and then Turkey is opening the floodgates into Europe. And they're all being run by Jews. And they're mostly going to Germany because Germany is the biggest economic power and has the most jobs and money of any place in Europe. And so they're destroying them in the same way that they said that they were going to back when Theodore N. Kaufman, who was a Soviet commissar, a Soviet propagandist, said Germany must perish and kill all... Oh, okay, he wrote this book. I mean, this is just from Wikipedia. The book advocated the genocide through sterilization of all Germans. Okay. There are so many sterilization programs going on that you don't even know the beginning and end to them. And it's just all there. It hasn't stopped. So I don't, you know, and you know, I can say that it's very likely to me that George S. Patton, his fatal mistake, and he said his fatal mistake was he was torn up about the fact that he had figured out by the time that you know, it came around that he was ordered to allow the Soviets to beat the you know, United States Army into Berlin. He knew that the fix was in. He knew that the Americans fought on the wrong side. And he's like, no. This is not how it goes. We're not going to kick these Germans out of their houses. We're not going to execute these, you know, honorable, you know, these German soldiers who acted more honorably in war than we did. Not going to do it. And here's the other plan. These Soviets and this Morgenthau and Roosevelt and Churchill plan and Rothschild, of course, and Warburg. Let's never forget Max Warburg. Never forget Max Warburg. That Patton says, no. Here's the plan now. Let's get rid of these Jews, just like Hitler was saying. And all we have to do is start marching, drive them out of Berlin, and start marching towards Moscow, and we'll have them beaten in a week. And he would have done it. And he could have done it. And he was planning on doing it. And the American people, with his leadership, if they'd have known this at the time, they would have been 100% behind George S. Patton. But no, that's not what happened. The Jews assassinated him. While Bill Donovan ordered his assassination, a Lebanese Jew pulled off the job, and there you have it. It's no secret. The guy who did it said, "Yeah, I was paid to kill Patton," and that's just about it.
Yep, and we sided with the communists, and till this day, we are living under a Soviet-style government, as we keep mentioning.
Yeah. I mean, so we've never been at war with the Soviet Union, but there's always the threat. But yet, time after time, the U.S. and the Soviet Union, or the U.S. and the Russians, the U.S. Jews and the Russian Jews, you know, do a pincer movement together on their enemies who are not their enemies. And okay, it's this guy Douglas Bezzata was the murderer of George Patton. So how do we know that Douglas Bezzata killed George Patton? Well, because he described how he did it. And he said, and he announced it in a public meeting in Washington, D.C., in front of nothing but a crowd full of intelligence officers. Douglas Bezzata, look it up. So that's why we're in the predicament that we're in now. And it is a real sad state of affairs that communism, Russian communism, and any other of this sort of thing is being promoted, and how we need to clean our own house, because all of these Russian connections, they're Jewish connections, and the connections between the United States government and the Russian government are always, always coordinated with Jews high ranking in the United States government. And that leads us to, we're going to talk the final few minutes about Apocalypse, and we're going to talk about it every time we're on the air. Got an email from an individual who's thinking about coming, talking about where to park, where we're going to park around DC. And David, I think that we're going to have a couple bases of operation. Folks don't need to worry about where they're going to park their car. We're definitely going to get at least one hotel room as a base of operations in Northern Virginia. Probably not inside of DC, but maybe we can have a base of operations in a hotel in DC and Northern Virginia. And also, there's a couple folks here in Richmond that are going to be operating, and worst case scenario, we can commute to Washington, D.C. from here, in addition to having multiple hotel rooms. So folks aren't going to have to worry about that, and just show up. That's all you have to do. You know, we've already have a lot of folks saying that they're going to show up. If you want to make a Facebook page for the event and have, you know, just make it in any way so you think, you know, because I'm limited through what I can do with my Facebook account. I have, 1,500 followers and 5,000 Facebook friends, but it's only allowing me to invite 500 people to this event. And of course, we've invited a lot of the people. We've talked about some of the people we invited. I invited Kevin Barrett to the Apocalypse. You know, and this is a litmus test for everyone, because this, you either get behind us in line and you start saying, okay, it's time to take lawful action to take down this government, or you got to shut up. We'll be there. There's going to be dozens of us there. We want hundreds there, though. What we know is that what we have so far, there'll be dozens of us. We want hundreds. We want hundreds there. Apocalypse, that's, you know, requiring our government to abolish AIPAC, to seize the assets of anyone who is working inside the United States as a part of the Israeli government, which that would seize the assets of every millionaire and billionaire in the United States, which is what we want to do. And then we'll reappropriate that, because everyone talks about all these complicated ideas about, oh, well, what are you going to do here and what are you going to do there? And you know, putting out these red herring arguments like, oh, you can't beat, you know, an army with drones, with handguns and rifles. I'm going to say, no. We use the handguns and rifles to force the hands of those who are in control of the drones, the nuclear submarines, the launch codes, etc., to turn them over to the body of the people where they belong. And we'll pull what their old trick was. We'll say, we'll disarm after you disarm. Then we'll force our enemies to disarm. And when I say that, I mean anybody who works for the government. Only somebody who doesn't work for the government can be armed. Only the militia can be armed. Who's that? It's the body of the people. Why is that? Well, because that's what it says in the law.
That's isn't Chris. This isn't David. This is the law. I mean, it's out of control. We are letting two-dimensional creations of the government rule over us because of their unlawful standing as let's just say their Masonic star somehow makes them holier than thou, and because they point their guns at us, kidnap us, and throw us in a tiny little cell, we go along with these clowns.
Yeah, absolutely, but not anymore, David. It was a great show. Thanks for joining me. And remember, Apocalypse, March 26th through 28th, 2017. God bless. For discussion on restoration of European common law and the latest intelligence analysis. Peace and God bless.